This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Senate Republican leaders unveiled the newest version of their health care bill this week. It's the latest in the GOP attempt to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. The new bill resurrects two Obama-era taxes on people with high incomes that were not included in the previous versions of the bill. Big question is whether it's enough to win over reluctant GOP senators. And the Russian election meddling scandal continues. Donald Trump Jr. is in the spotlight for his meeting with a Russian lawyer. Here to talk with us about that and more is political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with really the latest news, the Senate's newest version of the health care bill. Announced it yesterday. What are the changes over the previous version?
Well, for most people who were not happy with it from the beginning, they say these new changes have made it worse. Basically, what they've added was an amendment by Ted Cruz of Texas, Republican of Texas, that these insurers would offer two separate kind of proposals, programs. To the younger and the healthier, they would be cheaper plans, but of course they would be far less comprehensive than was mandated by the Affordable Care Act. But to the more the elderly, the people with pre-existing conditions, the people who are sick, it would be much more expensive, and probably not as inclusive as they need to. So they won't have the same kind of help they got in the past from the government. It's really basically good news if you're young and healthy, not good news if you're elderly and in poor health.
Right, because of the way the insurance works, if you split the pool and put all the healthy people over there, that's cheaper, and that leaves all the expense to the people with essentially pre-existing conditions, which is what the Affordable Care Act, one of the things it tried to eliminate.
And it would not be affordable, that's for sure.
Not affordable at all. Now, there's some provision in there to help insurance companies make up the difference, but again, kind of controversial. So, all right, that's it. That has helped some of the, as you say, Ted Cruz, not on board the first time, now on board this time. Then there are another provision, too. The original bill would have eliminated a tax benefit. This is it would remain now. The Affordable Care Act tax on wealthier individuals stays in place in this newest version. Is that right?
That's true. And of course, Mitch McConnell says that should eliminate most of the Democrats' arguments because the Democrats were arguing about this tax break for the rich. And so they keep the taxes that were in the original Affordable Care Act, but it still hasn't wooed. Here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't know how much of this is a game or how much of it is real, because remember with Betsy DeVos's nomination for Secretary of Education, only two Republicans voted no, and that's fine with Mitch McConnell because Mike Pence could break the tie if they lose two. Right now, only two Republicans have said no way to this, and one of them is Susan Collins of Maine, which is not surprising at all because this new plan has not helped won over any moderates at all. So, but there are a lot of other Republicans who are still questioning it. The Lindsey Grahams, the Shelley Moore Capitos, the Rob Portmans. So look, McConnell had a choice. He could have looked more towards the moderates, and there seemed to be more moderates who were opposed to the bill, or he could look to the conservatives like Mike Lee, like Rand Paul, like Ted Cruz, and he went to the right. Now, Rand Paul still says he still doesn't think this is good enough, but I can't imagine Rand Paul voting against a bill that has Ted Cruz's imprints all over it. So it's still now up to these moderates, these so-called moderates, the Dean Hellers, the Rob Portmans, the Shelley Moore Capitos of the world to say whether they're going to stick to their word and saying this is not helping the poor and the sick and the elderly. But we'll see what happens. McConnell still says there's going to be a vote next week.
There's going to be a vote. So the one step, and of course, the last time it didn't even get to the floor because opposition was so strong that they wouldn't have even survived the test vote to bring it to the floor. This time it might. But then what about those moderates who might want to say, for instance, Medicaid is, of course, another important question in this. The cap on Medicaid, no longer an entitlement. That hurts many of these moderate senators, as you say, and in their states, especially states like West Virginia and Maine. So it gets to the floor and they say, all right, but we want to raise the cap on Medicaid or we want to eliminate that cap. And they're successful in getting, let's say, an amendment. Democrats might say, well, I like that part. And now the amendment is essentially lethal because of what it does to how the conservatives would perceive it. Is that a possibility here?
Well, anything's a possibility. Look, John McCain just said yesterday, he said, look, I don't like, there's a lot of things I want changes in. So I don't know if that means we'll have an amendment during next week's processes, or if it goes down, then they'll rewrite the bill, because there are a lot of Republicans who say the only way this will work is if we work with Democrats. And of course, Mitch McConnell says, I'll throw that out as a threat. You know, if you don't like my bill, we're going to have to get Chuck Schumer involved in this, as if that was a threat. So there are changes. Look, there are some people who say, yes, I will bring it to the floor for a vote. I will agree to bring it to a floor for a vote, but that doesn't mean they're going to vote for it as well. I can't imagine McConnell bringing it to the floor and having it lose, because that's just not the way he works. But right now, I don't see where the votes are.
Would he open it up for amendment? Would he allow for amendments? I mean, obviously, if it's on the floor, I don't know what the rules are, whether or not he can limit the, because it's a carefully crafted bill. I mean, this is the second time he's had a chance at it. He's considered a genius at getting this stuff through. I can't imagine he wants it tampered with too much, because otherwise he loses what little bit of leverage he's got.
I think there's truth to that. But remember, that's the same thing that happened with the House when Speaker Ryan brought the bill in. They didn't have the votes. They were about to bring the votes for the plan for a vote. Then they pulled back at the last second, and then they got the vote to pass it back on May 4th. Of course, back then, Donald Trump said that was great news. Now Trump called the House bill mean. So, I mean, everybody changes their tune. We'll see what happens. But I don't actually know the rules, whether they can amend it before the vote comes next week. But again, you know, I mean, we've been so wrong on everything. McConnell is not somebody who likes to lose or usually loses. But again, you know, if the Dean Hellers and the Rob Portmans and the Susan Collins stay true to their word, it doesn't pass. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Kremlin-linked scandal related to our last election. The latest now, Donald Trump Jr.'s emails and a meeting with a Kremlin-linked lawyer. Is this the smoking gun, Ken?
I think this is enormous. Remember, for at least 20 times, both the president and his son and everybody else involved said there's absolutely, they never had, said there was no meetings. It's fake news. It's a witch hunt. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, only because the New York Times released it, has Donald Trump Jr. acknowledged that he met with this Russian lawyer who has links to the Kremlin. He, Jared Kushner, and campaign chair at the time, Paul Manafort, met last June of 2016 because they were promised damaging information on Hillary Clinton. If anybody in a campaign meets with Russian agents to give them bad information, dirt on Hillary Clinton, to me, that's the definition of collusion. Now, for Donald Trump Jr. to defend himself, saying, well, it's really no big deal because nothing was useful. The fact that they had the meeting, the fact that they went to the meeting, I mean, Trump himself, the president himself said, well, most almost anybody would have taken that meeting. I don't think so. I mean, Gore was offered some dirty stuff on Bush in 2000. He went to the FBI. I read a report that JFK was offered the Kremlin help in 1960 against Nixon. And he said, no, thank you, but no thank you. But nobody in the Trump sphere of influence seemed to think that it was weird sitting with somebody close to Russia with damaging stuff on Hillary Clinton. Nobody thought that was weird having that meeting.
Well, not only weird, but illegal. And I think that's the point. If somebody comes to you, and taps on your door and somebody says, I've got some damaging information on Frank Stasio, you can take his job, Ken. Well, you would take that opportunity, of course, but if they say they're associated in collusion with a foreign government, there are laws against that.
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't do it with you because I wouldn't take the pay cut. But
certainly
with a foreign government, that's absolutely true.
So that's all that. And the other thing Donald Trump Jr. is saying is, well, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't even in the headlines then, so why? But I guess it is still the law, whether or not it was in the headlines. And by the way, it was in the headlines, even back when he took the
meeting. But not only that, I mean, Jared Kushner, to have national security clearance, he was asked whether he met with any Russian officials, and he said no. And then when they realized this was coming out, he changed he had to change it. The fact that he still has national security clearance is just beyond belief. I mean, and I understand that on the trip back from the G20, White House officials, White House lawyers were writing up a defense for Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump Jr., I thought, has nothing to do with the government. I thought he's just a private citizen. Why is the White House supplying attorneys and people to work on his story? So it's everything just stinks in this, and I think it's major, and And, you know, I mean.
Well, and we're hearing, too, I mean, Democrats are saying this. We're hearing the call from Democrats to say we need to remove the clearance. The United States needs to remove Jared Kushner's clearance. So this call has been made by people in power, Democrats, albeit Democrats. So let's talk about the president's very briefly. President in Paris, Bastille Day, of course, the big bone in contention between the U.S. and European capitals in general, France in particular, whether or not the U.S. will comply with the Paris Accords on the environment. Donald Trump spoke about that when he was in Paris.
Something could happen with respect to the Paris Accord. We'll see what happens. But we will talk about that over the coming period of time. And if it happens, that'll be wonderful. And if it doesn't, that'll be okay, too.
There we go, Ken. What do you mean?
That is so funny to listen to. I'm just, if you listen to everything he said, he absolutely basically said nothing.
Well, no, he said a certain period of time, and it could be good and it might not be. And I think that was pretty clear.
He was adamant about getting out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement. There's no indication he's going to get back in it. There's problems with trade. There's problems with immigration. The fact that he just made this, you know, saying, well, you know, Macron and all these foreign leaders, they're terrific guys. They're terrific guys, and maybe we can work something out. But if he does, I mean, that's another indication of just Donald Trump changing his message because somebody looks at him with a smile.
Well, with that statement, you can go either way, and you're not changing your message. It's either good or it's not.
He does that all the time. I mean, what basically, if you listen to what he just said, that, and I'm going to listen to that piece of tape again, it just said, sure, it could happen, or no, it won't happen.
No, it won't.
And that's what he does with everything.
But we've got a period of time to consider. Ken Rudin, always a pleasure. Our period of time is up.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, nearly 40-year-old court case in North Carolina declares that no does not always mean no in North Carolina rape cases. We'll talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.